Hi there, members, and welcome aboard for this Wednesday live session. Let's share screen and get stuck into it straight away. Okay. Making sure everything's recording and going well. Beautiful. We're going to the Trello board for the club. Our next communication, this live session, we're going to tap into that card. And the first thing I want to do is welcome our new members. We've got a handful of new members joining us, about 11 new members, I think it is. And if you go over to our, I've just moved our goals card over to the last list here, and you can see the areas where all of our members are residing. But it's so wonderful to have everybody on board. I hope you enjoy the journey with us all. And if you have seen the How to Use the Trello board video that was emailed through to you, then you'll start to get a feeling for how you can have participation within the Trello board and have the topics that are really interesting to you dealt with and discussed at our live sessions coming up. So please do throw your ideas forward. One of the best ways you can do that is to go to the to-do list. And as you can see at the top of that, I've got there, add your own cards with topics you would like discussed. Also attach yourself as a member to the cards you are interested in. So for example, you can go to the bottom here and add a card here, add a topic. Or if you scroll down and you see topics that are of particular interest to you, hover over that card, hit the space bar, and you'll be added to that card. And any changes to that card, you'll be notified about. Another way you can do it is to actually click into the card like I have now, click on members and add yourself in there. You'll find yourself under here somewhere. But you'll be the one up that's at the top end first because it's you. Then with cards that have got multiple people interested in them, I'll be tackling those first because they're key topics for everybody. So you can put anything in that column. You can do things from practice management or reception, communication, team dynamics, advertising, marketing. You can put whatever you like in that column, even personal development, leadership, things like that. But let's go back over to our card. I did want to make sure that I do a big welcome to our new members and to remind you that if you have not yet filled out that very short Google form for me, it means that you haven't yet been invited to the Trello board. So once you fill out that Google form, you'll tell me two things within that. Which email address to use on this Trello board, because this Trello board, as you can see, you can actually see people's names and email addresses. And so as long as you're happy to have yours up there, come onto the Trello board. It's a great way to participate and track everything that's going on. The other thing I wanted to make sure that you knew about was the other question. One of the other questions on that Google form is which email address to have you logged in to all of the JPPS online courses, the 17 different titles that you now have full access to. So on the website, you just go to online courses and all of these courses are what you have now got free access to. But I just need to know what email address to use for that one too, because quite often practices want to use their practice email address for this so all the team members can have access to it very easily and participate in these online courses. Yet the Trello board is something that often the practice manager, receptionist or owner wants to participate in quite separately. So that's that. And as we like to do, we like to have an agenda list and tick things off as we go. Progress leads to happiness. The next thing is just the daily focus. Now, because of the topic today, which is the continued operation under COVID-19, I wanted the daily focus this time because of the fact that it's, especially for Victorians, the COVID-19 situation, of course, is at the top of all our minds all the time. We can't get away from it. However, with the minute that it becomes a chance of stepping up into level two, it's even more so on our minds. And having a daily focus of something quite random and to the side won't really be all that compelling to follow. So the daily focus is going to be just making sure that you do have an active and updated COVID-19 plan, and that's what today is all about. For all of our new members, the daily focus is just a little thing to remind ourselves of a helpful new way of thinking, or a helpful way of thinking about a particular issue that's going on at work, or just a little hint to, and I give you a reminder every morning. I send out a quick little email as a reminder to adopt this new way of perceiving a particular situation, for example. It might be as simple as looking at the glass half full rather than half empty. And if I just mentioned a particular little lesson to you once, it's unlikely that it would then be adopted. When we want to successfully adopt a new way of thinking or a new habit, it requires regular intervals of practice and regular reminders of why that it's compelling and why that it's important. So these daily reminders for a weekly daily focus, we focus on one thing for the whole week, because we sometimes need a whole week of practicing something to start to get it to sink into the brain. And so that's what you'll be receiving your email, your daily focus email on this coming week, is just to make sure that you do have an active and updated COVID-19 plan, because the situation changes so regularly. I think it's a very good idea that these sort of plans are updated every few days rather than letting that lapse. So for the rest of the country, I do apologise if this is a little bit more about Victoria, but I do hope that figures don't rise in other states and then it has a knock-on effect where there is the possibility of a level 2 restrictions being placed on dentistry within your state. It certainly seems to be coming in within Victoria. So I just wanted to mention these things. So first of all, a few days ago, Victorian dentists from the Australian Dental Association Victoria branch received an email announcement saying that they were recommending, due to the increased case numbers here in Victoria, especially in certain areas around Melbourne, they were recommending that the dental practices start functioning in level 2. Now, the ADAVB isn't the regulatory body for dentists. It's the Dental Board of Australia, and of course, at the moment, in conjunction with the health and the health services of the government side as well, the government body as well. Australian Dental Board. Here we go. They have still got the whole of Australia at level 1 restrictions. That is what is mandated. What the Victoria branch of the Australian Dental Association have done is suggest a recommendation. It has not come down from the Department of Health and it hasn't come down from the board. There's a chance that it may end up doing so. We've certainly got a lot of practices here in Victoria who have now moved to level 2 again. So today's a little bit of a reminder that whether you're functioning level 1 or level 2, when we were last at level 2, we went through a whole series of checklists and documentations and videos and all the rest of it. So everyone was very much aware of what they needed to do during level 2. This is the latest Australian Dental Association Victoria branch update as of today, the 15th of July. This afternoon, dentists were receiving this. And in case you haven't seen it, because keep in mind too, the Australian Dental Association Victoria branch put out this announcement, but it only goes out to their members, and not all of the dentists in this country are members of the ADA. So this is where there's a lapse of education around what's going on. And this is where relying on the board, everyone has to be registered with APRA. Relying on the board seems to be a prudent path to go down, but we can't certainly ignore what the Victoria branch of the ADA are suggesting to us. So it's just another urging to go to level 2. On Sunday, we advised all members working in metropolitan Melbourne and the Shire of Mitchell move to level 2 dental restrictions, recognising the increased risk of transmission in the community. The past 2 days have seen a big jump in the number of COVID-19 cases with an unknown source of transmission, which is particularly concerning. This reinforces our recommendation to work at level 2 restrictions. The paragraph within this that made me kind of sit up and take notice was down here, paragraph number 1, 2, 3, 4. We received a letter from the Chief Health Officer, Professor Brett Sutton, yesterday. He has noted the importance of avoiding procedures that generate contaminated aerosols unless rubber dam is used. And he has advised Public Dental Service in Metropolitan Melbourne and the Shire of Mitchell to operate at a minimum of level 2 restrictions. So that is for public, that's the public arena. I am in complete support of practices going either way in Victoria. If you would like to persist with level 1, I completely support that, and as does the Dental Board of Australia as well. Going back to that page here, this is what they have mandated. This is the stuff that you really take attention to and that you heed that advice, because that's a direct instruction. But if you would prefer, especially if you're in a hotspot, definitely go to level 2. And if you would like to just go to level 2 to make sure you're covering all your bases, then go nuts and go to level 2. And that's what today is a bit about. Let's remind ourselves what level 2 operations actually is and what we need to do. So you can find that card there. When you scroll down, you can find that announcement there. So operating through C19, rather than saying COVID-19, let's go through C19 and restrictions. I've created a new card for that. So click on that link that's sitting right there. And it takes us to here, C19 operations checklist. You can also find that it's the very next list beside our next communication. And you'll see the checklist here. And then I've dragged in cards from previous live sessions where we discussed level 1 operation and level 2 restart pack, when we could actually start at level 2 from level 3. Hopefully we'll never get back to level 3. So first of all, let's go to this checklist. And then we'll move on to the level 2 restart pack that will provide additional information. So the checklist is something for your practice team to do to make sure you are implementing correct actions that will help build out your infection control protocol through C19. It will also remind you of the importance of these elements if you're already doing them. And it will identify bits that you were doing for a while, but maybe they've dropped off. And so you can reinstate those with passion and vigor again. The first thing I suggest, we'll premise all of this with a couple of sentences as well, a couple of points I'd like to make. There are varying degrees of information out there in response to and in regards to the issue that COVID-19 actually presents to us as a community health-wise, and in comparison, all of the other issues that come about through job loss and financial hardship and isolation, the greater impact over humanity and long-term impact with humanity and the economy as well. There are so many things to have opinions around. What I'd like to ensure we're doing is making sure that our practices, number one, are united in optimism, control, and confidence that we're doing all the right things and we're making the environment as safe as possible. We will never get 100% safety. It is impossible. We are human beings. There is a virus. There are many viruses. But what we can say is that we are as safe as we possibly can be, because we are adhering to all the heavily researched guidelines put out by the Australian Dental Association and the board. I also want to make sure that all of these additional measures, whether you think they're warranted or not, what we're trying to do is not just make everyone safe and put a lot of confidence in the team, so the team members feel very confident coming back to work and seeing patients, but also we want all of our dental patients. We don't know with any particular dental patient where they are on that scale of anxiety around COVID-19. You could have an 80-year-old person who is terrified of catching it because they think that will be the end of them, isolating themselves and only coming out to the dentist if it was absolutely necessary for a toothache, for example. All the way through to other people who aren't really doing much social distancing because they're young and robust and nothing can touch me and all the rest of it. We have no idea where any of our patients sit on that scale of anxiety around COVID-19. So what we need to do is ensure that we are acting in such a way that it is obvious to our patients that we are taking things very seriously. So if you are highly anxious, we are providing you the confidence to come on in and get treatment done. Patients absolutely want to see evidence of you making enormous efforts for their safety. A lovely example is something that I've mentioned at a previous live session, and that was Dr. Mark Hassard, the relaxed dentist. He put out a blog post where he went along to his GP clinic for a blood test a few weeks ago or a couple of weeks ago. When he showed up, nobody was wearing masks. Nobody was wearing gloves. There didn't seem to be hand sanitizer anywhere. There didn't seem to be any obvious changes to the environment to pre-C19. He then went in and had his blood drawn, and the doctor also didn't glove up, touch the part of the arm that was to be injected with the needle, and then injected the needle. And so again, Mark Hassard was concerned about all of this. And when he got home, he called the practice, asked to speak to the practice manager, expressed his concerns. And the response was, well, by law, we don't have to do anything. So even though they may have been doing by law what was the right thing, by the patient, they were not doing the right thing. And it decreased the level of confidence that patient had in their GP clinic. Now, that decreased confidence in this particular environment, you'll probably lose that patient forever. So it is with absolute confidence that I have that if you make sure you are putting things in place that are obvious to the patient that you're taking things very seriously and you're taking these measures to make sure that they're safe, teams are safe, the community is safe, then they will maintain that high level of trust that patients have traditionally always held in dentists and dental practices. We have always been, as we've heard it many times before, we've always been highly diligent with our infection control practices. We've added to that now. And when we're talking to patients about what we're doing, we want to not go, yes, all the masks, all the hand washing. Oh, yeah. We don't want to be eye rolling. We want to be standing firm in our space and stating, yeah, we're doing all sorts of things to make sure you're safe. And we want to put that confidence across to patients. And we do that in various ways. When we communicate with patients one-on-one, obviously. When we're calling them for their appointment time confirmations, which I urge you to do now, don't rely on SMSs anymore. We want to be calling people and verbally saying to them some of the instructions that we're talking about within the live session today. We also communicate with them through our Facebook page and other social media, and also through direct email and direct mail as well. Whenever there's changes, different levels of operation, additional methods to make sure that we're only having healthy patients come into the practice, so therefore things that the patients need to participate in, again, these will be explained to you, then we want to make sure we're communicating all those things very effectively and doing it as widely as possible. It's difficult to, we wouldn't be sending direct mail to everybody all the time for every change because it's enormously costly in both time and for postage and all the rest of it. Emails, they don't always get opened by everybody. However, most people nowadays do have a mobile phone, so paying the additional amount of money to get mass SMSs out might be a very good option. But all of this comes as cost to the practice, and we have to monitor cost to the practice because of the fact we don't know if we're going to be shifting levels or not in the future. And so we're not just trying to make sure we're viable today. We want to make sure we've got planning happening now, reduced spending, increased income wherever possible, so we can ride the level wave if we need to actually drop from level 1 to 2 or 3. With all of that said, that it's all about public confidence and team confidence. Let's go through the checklist. So first up, Appoint a team member to complete the COVID safe plan. The COVID safe plan was a document. I think I attached it to the last live session and I've got it attached up here under my attachments. So the COVID safe plan, I've got it opened up down here already because sometimes it takes a few seconds for it to open up from Trello. This is a template COVID-19 safe plan to assist with returning to work and having a plan in place to prevent the further spread of COVID-19 virus. Your practice requirements may vary and additional measures may need to be taken depending on the needs of your practice. Prior to completing this COVID-19 safe plan, please review the ADA's Managing COVID-19 Guidelines to fully understand their procedures. And so this is the sort of document that's going to help your team members feel very safe turning up to work and treating dental patients, playing their role in the treatment of dental patients. So you'll see here, it's not a long document. It can be done in quite a straightforward and quick fashion. And a lot of it refers to, and you see here, there's a link right here, the COVID-19 portal dental professionals. I've got that already open up here. This is just a magnificent site. The ADA Federal have just gone above and beyond to support the dental industry. I've been so wildly impressed with them. I think we all have been, whoever is a member of the ADA. And I just assume that ADA memberships will start to shoot back up again to what they used to be because of the support that they've shown. If you're not a member of the ADA, I really urge you to jump on if you can, or to arrange with an existing member to start sharing some of the announcements that come out. You want to be abreast of everything abreast of everything as it happens. So you can react. Sometimes you do need to react quite quickly. For example, these recommendations to level two that the ADA VB put out, they put it out, I think, on Sunday possibly, and they were suggesting it for Wednesday. So you've got to get snappy with appointment cancellations and restaffing and all the rest of it. So everything takes time. So you'll see scrolling down here, there's a whole bunch of documentations that are going to be enormously helpful for you in setting up your C19 plan. And once people go through all of this, they'll have a lot more information up their own sleeve as well. So they'll be quite educated in the rolling out of this plan. I'm looking at some of the Facebook chat forums for dental, and certainly there are some that are populated heavily with dental auxiliaries, and you can tell that there's not a lot of education going on with some practices. So what has happened in the past is that the dentists have been fully educated, the ADA members especially, because there were weekly webinars coming out, but then the dentist was completely educated, but the rest of the staff were just relying on that feedback of information to them. And sometimes that would have been happening effectively and other times not so much. So try to share as much information as you're learning as possible with your team to empower them with correct information, because there's still quite a lot of jumbled thinking out there around what's required. The next thing I wanted to mention was post that warning sign on the front door. Some of this is coming from our level two restart pack. And just to show you what this is, on your front door, a big stop, and then saying, if you've got a cough or anything like that, don't come any further. So much of your safety within your practice and making sure that you don't have any COVID-19 cases enter into your premises, and therefore you have to isolate or lock down or shut down your business for a period of time. You just have to do everything you can that only healthy people are coming through your front door. This is one of the ways that you can do that. Again, very obvious to the patient when they turn up and there's a stop sign at the very front saying, if you're sick, please don't come any further. Print it out. Laminate it, go off to Officeworks and get yourself one of those groovy little laminators. They're cheap and you use it all the time. And then blue tack it to your front door. The next thing is, which I've just started to implement in one of the practices that I consult at on a regular basis and go out to on a regular basis, is that awareness that staff members need that when you're inside the clinical surgery, you don't need to practice social distancing because that's where you're wearing all your PPE. However, the minute you leave that surgery, we've got reception areas, staff room, steri room, where maybe the PPE isn't being worn all the time. Probably in the steri room, it certainly still is. You've probably still got your mask and your shield or whatever you've got, and certainly your gloves. But in the other areas where you have lunch, where you have your morning huddle, where you have a cup of tea and a biscuit, those areas, it is still important to practice social distancing. If you've got a practice that's quite small, you may have had to adjust your rostering system so you don't have as many people on site. But having little, and the signs I've got there, let me see. This one here. So I just printed up a sheet of paper with a few of these. Unless I've got, oh, here. Keep 1.5 meters apart. I laminated it, cut out three of those, put one in the waiting room, one on the steri door, just so people were aware if they didn't have PPE on, not to go into the steri room if somebody else is in there, and in the staff room as well, just as a visual reminder, even though we're at work and we're used to being in close proximity with one another, we're still trying to get that 1.5 meters apart. So visual reminders are a good thing and also great for your patients to see. Establish your C19 protocol. I have attached and updated. I updated it yesterday. I'm going to click into this now. Actually, this is the better version, easier version to read. So feel free to download this, add your own practice name to it, add to it, take it away, use it as it is. It's completely up to you. Some of these protocols within this list are verging into level 2 territory, but they're things that are pretty easy to implement in your practice. And so why not? But take them out if you prefer to. So we've got the safety protocol for coronavirus COVID-19, last updated 14th of July 2020. This kind of protocol is important for all of your team members to be educated about and then having it posted somewhere so people can easily refer to it whenever they need to. Australia is continuing closely to monitor the illness. The World Health Organization obviously noted it was a pandemic back on the 11th of March. During the C19 pandemic, additional guidelines have been designed to keep our team and patients safe. These include looking at the whole practice and implementing measures to minimize the risk of spreading C19. In addition to the guidelines, the levels of restriction on dental practice will change according to the current environmental risk assessment. We can access the latest information on C19 from the Australian Government, and there's a link to the Department of Health and Human Services. And our regulatory body is the Dental Board of Australia. Their current mandated restriction is level 1. So at any point in time, any staff member could click on that link if it's a digital document. If it's a physical one, I would change that and actually put in the link itself, the HTTP, what do you call it? The URL. So on every day, you can just check that to make sure you're still at level 1. The purpose of the document. Okay, control measures. These are all the things that you're doing in addition to your standard infection control. Screen patients for any signs or symptoms of any illness, exposure to anyone displaying signs and symptoms of any illness, exposure to COVID-19, blah, blah, blah. So what I mean by that is keep in your mind, your whole team, we just can't have somebody infected coming in here. We want to make sure only healthy people come in here. That's one of the sure ways we can maintain our viability as a business during this process. We cannot afford to shut down. Shut down means that the business is at risk of failing, team members are at risk of losing their jobs, and money becomes very tight for everybody involved. And the stress and the trauma that that then causes is something that you don't want to think about. So let's do whatever we can to make sure that this is not a reason why we shut down if we ever had to. Let's make sure we never get a case of it coming through. So when patients ring up for an appointment time, you're asking them, just want to double check, do you have any signs or symptoms of illness? Are you exposed to somebody who has any signs or symptoms of illness? Have you had any exposure to COVID-19? So get that out of the way. The next thing that I'm encouraging practices to do in Victoria because of the hotspots is knowing exactly where the hotspots around your area are and asking them, do you live in these areas? If they're an existing patient, you've got their address details already. If they are in one of those areas, to say, we'd love to help you right now. We can't because you're from a hotspot, to make sure that one of the reasons why we are still open today is because we've been diligent in screening our patients. I can absolutely make you an appointment time, but it will be a bit later on down the track. If they've got a toothache or something like that, ask the dentist to have a telephone consult with them so they can talk them through what their next step should be in management of that toothache or broken tooth or whatever. The other thing to mention to patients as well, which will probably be noted somewhere else as well, is that when you're coming to your appointment time, please come alone. Don't let anybody else come in with you to your appointment time. If it's a child's appointment time, they come with one guardian or parent. Others can remain in the car in the car park or remain at home. Families can still come and have three children's checkups, one after the other, if they want to. But with only child and one guardian in the surgery at a time, the rest of the kids are in the car with another parent or guardian, and when one child leaves, they go in the car and send another child in. So it can be done, but you do need to make sure you're practicing social distancing inside the surgery as well. And again, all these things are making it so obvious to the patient, these high measures you're taking in order to make sure that it's very safe for them to come. And also, when you arrive for your appointment time, patient, can I ask that you remain in your car in the car park? You call us, let us know that you've arrived. We will let you know whether the waiting room is clear and it's free for you to come in. If it's not, I may ask you to wait for another couple of minutes until I call you and then let you know when the best time to come in is. When you do arrive, you'll notice that there's hand sanitizer at the front door and I'll be there to greet you and I'll be taking your temperature with a no-touch thermometer. Is that okay? All these steps are designed to only have healthy patients come into your practice. The second thing that we're doing as a practice as part of our protocol is making sure the personal protective equipment they use is appropriate for the procedures being performed. In level one, this is standard PPE of mask, gloves, and uniform. Face shields are available, surgical gowns and N95 masks are to be used for procedures creating aerosol. Using high-speed evacuation for dental procedures during aerosol, we always used to do that anyway. 20 to 30 second pre-procedural mouth rinse with either of these rinses. This is another key element that if you are a member of the Australian Dental Association, you may remember one of their webinars and they were talking about these pre-procedural mouth rinses and how effective they are for, you know, a good length of time, 30 to 45 minutes of rinsing that out. But again, you're letting the patient know all of these additional things that you're doing and you're making sure you're safe as well. Obviously, ensure that there's hand sanitizer at the front entrance, in the waiting room, with a sign encouraging patients to use it. We don't even have to train people with those sort of things. Everyone just comes in naturally and uses it. Removal of all non-essential items from the waiting room. So no magazines, teapots, coffee cups, children's toys or books. It's a boring old waiting room, but they're not used that much anymore because we're getting patients to wait in their cars in the car park. Not accepting any walk-in patients. This is a key one because people with a toothache in the past, they may have just rocked up through the front door, but you can't afford to accept those patients while they're there and in pain. If you say to them, if you've got any symptoms of illness, they'll likely just say, no, I'm fine, because they want that problem treated for them. And I know that with the practices that I've had a lot of communication with, many of them are quite heavily booked at the moment. So if we do move to level two, it is going to cause quite a disruption of moving patients around and re-establishing level two processes. Not accepting non-essential visitors to the practice, such as dental reps. Call your dental reps and just say, at the moment, let's do a Zoom online meeting or a telephone call rather than you coming in personally. But of course, couriers are accepted. We don't want to stop couriers bringing in all of our dental masks. Notifying patients to avoid bringing additional people. I mentioned that before. Require workers practice normal good hygiene, such as frequent hand washing, limited contact with others, covering their mouths when they're coughing and sneezing. Your dental auxiliaries are normally very good with all those sort of things. Avoid bringing any staff in for unnecessary meetings and things. So when you've got a team meeting, quite often you're all sitting quite huddled together, but bring other people in via Zoom if possible, have as few people in that room as possible so you can practice social distancing. And the Zoom meetings for your whole team are a truly effective way of having a team meeting. Quite often it's difficult to get all of your team members in the one room at the same time. But on Zoom, all of a sudden, it's making it a little bit more possible to do that. On top of that, you can record a Zoom meeting really easily. So I find the Zoom meetings for team meetings really effective. Restrict all non-essential travel, of course, where that's been wiped out of our lives already. Reception desk, make sure there's disinfectant spray and wipes so the FPOS machine, the telephone and other surfaces can be wiped over. All equipment that is designed for intraoral use, such as intraoral camera and x-rays, you can either cover with a plastic barrier, but just make sure that you always you're maintaining additional attention to those sort of things that don't go through the autoclave. Except in the clinical areas where PPE is in use, staff members to maintain social distancing. Each staff member, get one of those no-touch temperature gauges. They're not that expensive. And every team member can have their temperature taken every morning. Again, helping the team members feel that bit more safe, that bit more confident. And then with the patients as they walk in. Each visitor and patient to the practice to have their temperature checked. Toilet facilities, of course, get wiped over every time they're used by patients and team members as well. Every patient's to be address checked, as I mentioned before, and all patients, the day before. So this sort of protocol can be posted anywhere. You can post it just in the staff room. You could post it in the waiting room if you wished. But wanting to make sure you've also got there as if I'm a staff member and I'm at risk of coronavirus, then what do I do? And there's instructions around that as well. And then those morning huddles are crucial in order to educate your team members whether if there's been additional information come to light. Don't know how that opened. Publisher. So feel free, that's the protocol there. Feel free to download that and use that, as I say, edit it to make it sense to you. And that will be enormously helpful for your team to be all on the same page, all doing the same thing and understanding the importance of all, or being reminded about the importance of it all. We've covered some of these things. Buy the no-touch thermometer, that's on the to-do list, on the checklist. Introduce antibacterial mouth rinse for 20 seconds. I've misspelled that. Remove unnecessary items from the bench tops in the surgeries too. You know, fluffy toys and those, the cows and the alligators with the teeth in it, all those sort of things that can have aerosol droplet fall on them, then is difficult to decontaminate. So get rid of as many things off the bench tops as possible. Remove the stuff from the waiting room. We've spoken about that. Now, the red-green sign for dirty and clean surgery, this is something that I did with one of the practices. This is back going, especially with level 3, that you've got 15-minute gaps in between each appointment time so everything can be wiped over and that the room can be left for 10 minutes or so without anybody in there. The red green sign was important at that time as well because we were trying to really restrict down how many staff members were in the practice at any one time. And when you're only seeing emergency appointment times, there's no reason to have, quite often, there's no reason to have a receptionist and a nurse on at the same time because there's really not enough patient flow to warrant that. And so in this particular practice, we were having the nurse do both reception and nursing. But so of course she was out at reception, and if the dentist tried to go back into the surgery and see another patient or whatever, they needed to make sure that they knew that surgery was dirty and not yet ready for the next patient to go in. So I
Don't Hi, girls. Just it's a very quick video.
Here we go.
Modification of a system and a new system. This is a new system here. On each of the surgeries, we've got a thing on blue tack, green and red. Red means, of course, that the surgery is not ready yet to be seen by another, to see another patient get it because it has been fully wiped over or whatever. Green means it's all right to go. This is when we've only got one staff member in during both reception and nursing, just so the dentist knows what's going on. So that's on the front door of both surgeries. The other thing was,
you don't need that yet, but...
in surgery one, that there's a lot of grime built.
A lot of grime. We're using a particular spray down the spittoon during this time. It was one of those sprays that actually ends up having a nasty residue left behind. And so that red and green sticker can sometimes be quite helpful. The minute a patient goes into the surgery, it gets flipped to red. And the minute the nurse is ready, is satisfied that room is nice and clean, she flips it back to green. Everyone knows that surgery has been wiped down completely and is ready for the next patient. So that red-green sign can be helpful. Reinforce the need for vigilance around screening of patients. I've certainly spoken to you about that. One of the things that came to me today when the latest update from the ADAVB came into play was, let's do a cash projection at level two. So most practices now, they've got level one bookings in their appointment book. So they've got cleanings and cram preps and other bits and pieces that create aerosol, but you can't use rubber dam one. So let's look at the next 2-3 weeks. If we have to be forced to go to level two, take out all of the items that we wouldn't be allowed to do and then add up what the production is going to be. Those figures are really crucial for you to be aware of as a practitioner, so, or as an owner, so then you can make very smart decisions around the level of staffing, how many surgeries are running at any one time, and how long we can maintain that kind of habit for. So it's just another element, important element of information that goes into decision making. Also the roster staff, so it'll roster your staff on, so you do allow for social distancing. We've mentioned that already. Another thing is have all your team members participate in the COVID-19 infection control online course. So I've got the link sitting right there. And here it is here. And it's just a simple online course. I think it takes about 20 minutes from memory. I did it weeks ago, a couple months ago. And I can't remember it taking very long at all. It's free. And then once you do it, you can actually then post up on your social media page and your website. All our team have just finished and completed this course. And it looks fantastic for them. Yep, all my team are not just, they're not just doing their usual, they're actually upskilling in the area of infection control as well. And the last thing I wanted to put on this checklist, and I may continue to add things to it, and if you've got ideas to add to it as well, let me know, I shall certainly add them to it, is communicate with your patients about everything. As I said, the updates, changes to the levels, the additional actions that you're taking, certificates for courses, reassurance and confidence as well. You want to make sure that patients are feeling very safe coming in and that they're very clear that they can come in for treatment if that is still the case in your area. There's some videos that in the past, where was one of the videos? Oh, that's right. It was on the Club Hub. So the Club Hub, let me just quickly show you this video. It was one of our other members, George, had mentioned a video that he saw from a Canadian dental practice and we loved it. So we created our own. This is at one of the practices that I work at on a regular basis. I've been working with them for 5 years. They're glorious. And so I quickly did this video for them. But this sort of thing is a great way of educating your patients about what's going on because you can portray to them in all of the your body language, your gestures, the tone of your voice, the confidence that you guys have in seeing them in a safe environment. So it's a lovely way of bringing the message home in a way that you can't do it with just words.
Hi there, it's Julie, the practice manager of Somerville Family Dental Care. And I thought I'd quickly touch base with everyone, just so you know of the few different things we're doing here in terms of infection control to make sure that during this COVID-19 situation, you're safe, our patients are safe, as well as the rest of the public. When you organise an appointment time, we'll be asking you whether you've been doing any travel or been exposed to the virus at all. Also, whether you have any symptoms of cold or flu. We are trying to make sure only people who know they're 100% healthy come into the practice. Once you're in, you'll notice that we've got our hand sanitizer, which you'll be well used to by now. Also, in the waiting room, we're making sure that everyone is social distancing and remaining a meter and a half apart. But we do prefer it if you come into the waiting, into the car park, and then call us and let us know you've arrived. We'll let you know whether you can come straight on in. Maybe there's already a couple of patients here, and we'll get you to wait in the car instead and then come and collect you when the time is right. The other thing you'll notice is that we've got our shield here to protect both you and Joy, our receptionist, and our other reception staff as well. And then once we've taken you through to the surgery, social distancing isn't needed in there because we've got gloves and masks. What you've learned is called the PPE. But once you leave, that's when our dental nurses wipe down all of the surfaces inside the surgery, in the waiting room, front door and bathroom area as well. We do that in between every patient just to make sure everyone is safe. Thank you so much for all of your support during this period. Hopefully we'll get back to normal soon. But if you have any questions, please do contact us. We are available for all range of treatments now, and they can get done very successfully and safely at the time that's convenient for you. I look forward to seeing you soon. Bye.
So if you're interested in creating that kind of video, and a lot of this I'm telling for the new members that are on board, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. This is stuff that our regular members already know. Scan across the lists here within Trello. You'll see video tutorials. And there's here Canva for video for patients. And I take you through step by step how to create that video in Canva so you can easily post it up to your website or social media page. What I might do is just copy that card, share, copy the link to the card, jump out of there, go up to my operations checklist, and I'm going to, beside the communications with your patients, I'm going to put that link to that card there so you can easily find it and the recording. So I'll make sure I've covered the other areas. COVID safe plan, Yes. Now the other thing I've attached to this card that I want everyone to remain aware about. During the Australian Dental Association webinar series every Wednesday, a little while ago, the links were shared with me because they were pertinent to all these levels. This is a snippet from the webinar that discussed what you need to do under level 2 in terms of PPE. This is one of those areas that everyone's wildly confused about on the chat rooms. And so let me just play you this bit.
Thank you, Sharon. That all does make a lot of sense. But if we could just really break it down and simplify it, for a low-risk COVID-19 patient, the most important parts of our additional precautions are all the things we're doing around the procedure, like our hand hygiene and pre-procedural mouth rinse and minimising aerosol, and putting on rubber dam if it's required. But as far as our PPE is concerned, it's not a requirement to have a P2 mask or a disposable gown. Is that correct?
Absolutely not. You use your level 2 surgical mask. You use your eye protection. So with your loops, you make sure you have side protection. You use your disposable gloves. And that is the normal PPE that we apply. And what I would say in the context of this, because we know many patients are asymptomatic if they are positive, that PPE, together with those enhanced infection control measures that we're already undertaking, underlying that is an assumption that most patients could be at risk of COVID-19. So you're almost in those processes assuming that every patient that walks through the door could have COVID-19. Now, one of the other things that people often talk about, or there's been a lot of discussion about, is actual face shields. But if you think about if you've got your eye protection and your eye protection in the form of your loops or protective glasses for your dental assistants actually seal that area off around your eye so nothing can come in the sides, and not like my glasses I'm wearing now where things can come in through the side here. If you've got your mask that's well fitted around your nose and around your mouth, if you've got your gloves on, really the need for a face shield is not there because you're also under level two restrictions limiting your aerosols. And when you are generating aerosols, you have already one, got the patient to do a pre-procedural mouth rinse, and two, you're using your rubber dam. So the only aerosols you're creating are aerosols of the water and the air that is mixed through the handpiece or whatever. You're not aerosolizing the saliva, and you're not aerosolizing any blood or anything as well. Now, having said that, one of the things we have put in the level two restrictions is that the key principle of them is that you are undertaking procedures that are unlikely to generate aerosols, or when you're doing aerosols, you're using rubber dam. The rubber dam use is mandatory. You need to make sure your rubber dam is sealed well. If rubber dam can't be used, And you need to do the procedure, you're going to generate aerosols, then you cannot provide the procedure. That is the underpinning of level two restrictions.
Thank you, Sharon. I think that's really cleared up.
Okay, so hopefully that gives you confidence in the PPE level that you need, because I'm still hearing that a lot of people saying that at level two we need surgical gowns and we need the N95 masks, and that's certainly not the case according to the Australian Dental Association, and they're the ones that are doing all the research around it, so have faith in what they say. That little snippet of video is something that's very useful to show your whole team, because differing of opinions around this can cause a little bit of disruption of a thought that some people in the team aren't taking this seriously enough. And it's just a matter of making sure it's coming from an authoritative space that everyone can have faith in. And there's that little MP4 video snippet for you. Now, part of the, there's the ADA Managing COVID-19 guide there as well. That's just an additional attachment there. So you've got an easy access to it, because that very first area of COVID safe plan was to look through that document. So that's been attached for you as well. For all of the members existing who want a reminder, and for the new members coming on board especially, move through both of these cards, the level one operation and level two restart pack, depending on which way you are going. If you are in level one, click into here and just make sure you have a read through all of this and that you're doing everything that you're required to do. And the level two practices, here is the information for you. It includes some information that you'd like to post on Facebook to inform and educate your patients as well. All the screening questions as well. So those things are there for you. The ADA webinar recording, this is not where the snippet was taken from. This is one from the 8th of May that one of our members asked me to record. So I did. And so I thought I'd throw that one in there as well, because it helps again, just as a reminder to get our head back around that space. If you have, I'm going to tick that bit off now. This is something that if there's additional bits and pieces, I will be continuing to add them to emails and to the Facebook group as well, the club group. And if there's anything that you would like further clarification around or added bits of information that you think is helpful for our other members, please do let me know. Call me, email me, text me, whatever, put it yourself. Enter all the information. If you're part of Trello, enter in the information yourself to the appropriate card. Be as interactive as you'd like to be. I'm ticking this off today. We've just completed it, taking the top priority off. This register here area will become recording, and the link to the recording, once it gets sent through to me, I'll attach it there. I'm going to drag this over to our completed list. And our very next session is, of course, it's not going to be on Sunday. We've now stopped the Sunday live sessions. Everyone was finding that two sessions a week was a little bit of overload. We started with two sessions a week back when we had skeleton staff on and a lot of people working from home. And so the two sessions a week were useful because we had heaps of time to get things done, but we very quickly got back to business as usual. Let's hope it stays that way. So Wednesday next week is the next live session. Click into it, add anything you would like to the agenda. At the moment, we're talking about building rapport with patients, but depending if there's something more urgent that may take precedence, whether that building rapport thing will be discussed at all. Add your own bits and pieces in there if you would like to have something particular addressed, But otherwise, I hope that you found this session, I'll go stop share here, helpful. And I wish you every bit of luck and support moving through this time. If you need to discuss anything with me, please call me anytime, email me anytime, and I'd be very happy to have a chat with you and or your team, whatever you need. But have a lovely evening, and I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Thanks. See you later.